Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Usually, I like to do the introductions around here, but for our first guest tonight, I'm going to let Dave Grohl of the Foo Fighters do the honors.
Joan Jett is a real... She's the real deal. She's a real rock and roller, you know? If you get her talking about rock and roll, she'll stand up out of her chair, and she just... I mean, she is f***ing awesome. She makes all of us pretty little boys look like f***ing school children. She's a badass.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Literally, I could not have said some of those words myself on the radio. Joan Jett, welcome to Soundcheck.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Kind of nice that we hear from Dave Grohl because, as it turns out, you and he have done some touring together and have worked at least a little bit on the new record, right?
Yes, definitely. We got a chance to go to South America with them last our spring, so I think that would be
their fall. Right.
And it was an incredible tour, and we had a blast, and the band is just so genuine and friendly, and we had a great time. But before we had done that tour, I got a chance to actually jam with the Foo Fighters a couple of times on Bad Reputation. They threw it into their set in a couple places. They did it at Madison Square Garden and brought me on stage to do it. And so we had some of those... experiences before we did the touring. And then once we toured, I'm a Foo Fighter fan. I think that, you know, Dave's a great songwriter. And so I couldn't help but ask if he'd want to sit down and write a song. And, you know, he said, yeah, sure, let's give it a shot. So we did.
So the song Any Weather, you actually wrote it together?
Yes.
And what's Dave doing on this? Is he drumming, playing guitar?
Well, once we kind of finished coming up with the basic track and how the music would work, because I think we were missing a bridge, and he rearranged some of the music so that things went more smoothly into things. And when I think about it, I think, okay, the guy's a drummer, so he's looking at things in a different way than maybe someone who grows up as a rhythm guitar player. So,
like you.
He made some of the parts, time-wise, really work well. And so once we finished coming up with the basic idea for the song, I went into the studio just with Dave. He played drums, I played guitar, and I kind of sang. We didn't have the words yet. We had some words in the chorus, so I just kind of hummed the melody, sang the chorus when we got there, but it was just drums and rhythm guitar for the initial song.
Right.
Then Dave went back out, put down some bass, he put down a rhythm guitar, some lead guitar, some piano. Then we took everybody in the studio, their crew, my crew, and we went out and did some haze, and they may have done the whoa-ohs, too, but I'm not really sure, but it was, and hand claps, and it was really fun, so I left that day with a very completed sort of sounding demo, but we still needed to finish some of the lyrics and stuff, which I did later.
And the result is this song called Any Weather, which is the lead-off track on Joan Jett's record called Unvarnished. Any Weather from Joan Jett and the album Unvarnished, featuring Dave Grohl of Foo Fighters and, of course, Nirvana before that, helping out with some of the songwriting and the playing. You mentioned that when you finished that day, those sessions, you almost had a song. You hadn't finished the lyrics. Does it often work that way, that the instrumental stuff is done and then you need to fit the lyrics to it, or how does that work?
For me, it happens several different ways. A lot of times I'll come up with riffs and musical ideas and melodies that don't really have a subject yet. Mm-hmm. So I'll just keep that separate. Then there's other times when I get song titles or an idea for a couple of sentences and I write that down. Sometimes you fit it together like a puzzle, mm-hmm. and sometimes it doesn't work like that. So it's, you know, you can never, I don't have one way that it works. It kind of all happens different ways at different times.
Yeah. Well, you know, like you say, it's kind of, a lot of people don't have one way of working. And sometimes it seems to change over time. Now, you've been doing this for a long time. Has songwriting changed for you? Is it a different thing now than it was 30 years ago?
Well, I think maybe in my very early songwriting career, things seemed to come a little more, maybe because, you know, you were just starting and you had all that, you were filled up to the top.
Right,
so it was easier to have things spill out. Where I think later on, especially maybe about 10 years ago, I had this sort of sense that I had writer's block. But really, I didn't have writer's block. It's just a matter of remembering that you've got to sit down and work at it, just like you would anything. If you have a verse and an idea, sit down and play that. If it's only 10 minutes, great. Just come back to it the next day. And then things started to flow out, and I remembered it maybe once or twice in my life did a song actually pour out at once, but never more than that.
Right.
It's you've got to sit down and work at it.
So if you're sitting there waiting for that bolt of inspiration, you end up with a career that has one or two songs.
Right. And I was sitting there waiting for that. And so it kept me kind of waiting for a while until you kind of remember, no, you got to put your nose to the grindstone, Joan. You got to sit down and do it like homework every day, because that's basically what it is. And some days are more creative than others.
We're speaking with Joan Jett. Her new album is called Unvarnished, out now. Is this a kind of a personal record for you?
I think they all are, but this comes at a time in my life when other things have happened. You know, I'm beyond writing about partying and getting laid and not getting laid or whatever it may be.
Right.
Sort of those youthful things. Not that there aren't still youthful things happening now and writing about relationships as well, but there's more to it now. I mean, there's a couple songs on the album about the frivolity of society today with TMI, about people oversharing a little bit too much. I'm somebody who likes my boundaries and likes to keep them. Reality Mentality is about sort of seeing that whole reality vibe seep into the news, where people will ask questions that require a deep answer, but you know they have 5 seconds to give you an answer. It's like, come on, is it going to seep into every corner of everything we do? So it was kind of like, not a judgment, but just an observation.
Observation, yeah.
Other things, I wrote about Hurricane Sandy because I was directly affected by that. I live in a town called Long Beach, New York. And, you know, Long Beach and all the towns around us, the Rockaways and all, up and down the Jersey Shore, as everyone in the New York area knows, got decimated. Mm-hmm. And so I saw people that I knew, people that I didn't know, face, you know, ruin and have that look of deer in the headlights and going, what are we going to do? And then you saw everybody pulling together and people that didn't know each other and people helping. And you see all the differences fly away. And then the spirit, something happens and the spirit turns from going, what are we going to do, to, we know what we're going to do. We're going to rebuild and we're going to bring it back, and people's spirit turns and they become hopeful again. So to see that firsthand was amazing, because to know it from the news and go, wow, that disaster, that's terrible, I feel for those people, that's one thing, but actually living it, it is another. So we wanted to write about that, and that's a song called Make It Back.
Yeah.
song's called Make It Back. Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, a song inspired by the devastation left after Hurricane Sandy. It's almost the one-year anniversary. What's the situation exactly like in Long Beach and the Rockaways now?
Well, visibly, I don't know about the Rockaways, but in my town, things are looking a lot more normal. That might just be the look. So I've heard that a lot of people haven't come back. You see a lot of houses up for sale. You can see that there's buildings, apartment buildings that look vacant. I'm not sure if they are or not. But so on the surface, things are getting better. The beach was open this year. The boardwalk's almost rebuilt. They're rebuilding the sand dunes. And so you see a lot going on. So hopefully things are getting close to being back to normal. But I know that there's still people out there hurting and suffering and that haven't gotten too far from where they were a year ago.
Well, Make It Back is just one of the songs from the new album called Unvarnished, the latest from Joan Jett, singer, songwriter, guitarist. Do you still refer to yourself as a rhythm guitarist?
Yeah.
So how did you learn to play? Who taught you? Who were you listening? Who were your idols as a kid?
Well, I guess initially I did when I was playing guitar, I didn't early on have somebody I was trying to emulate.
Mm-hmm.
I was just playing along to the records I had, whether it was Smoke on the Water or Bang a Gong by T-Rex, All Right Now by The Free was a big one, because that rhythm guitar sound and everything really wanted me to make me play guitar. I wanted to learn how to play. You'd have to listen to those chords to hear what I'm hearing. Then I want to make that sound. So I went to take lessons, and the guitar teacher said, girls don't play rock and roll. And he taught me how to play. He started to teach me on top of Old Smokey. And being 13, I didn't realize, you know, you got to learn the basics first. And that's probably what he was trying to do with me. But I took it as he's saying girls can't play rock and roll. So I went and I bought a Learn How to Play Guitar by Yourself book that taught you basic chords and how to learn how to
probably
play
one of those old Mel Bay books.
Probably, yeah.
I think I had the same book.
Yeah. So I just would sit down at these records like Smoke on the Water and just learn how to play that stuff. And that's how I taught myself to play. But I'll tell you, once I hooked up with Sandy West of the Runaways, playing with another musician really, really kind of holds your feet to the fire. You learn trial by fire, and you start to get better, hopefully.
Especially, as is the case with Sandy, you know, when you're playing with a good drummer who keeps time, and suddenly you realize, holy crap, I'm like, you know, I'm slightly behind or ahead, and I didn't even realize, and I've been playing it this way all this time.
Right. Well, actually, Sandy and I hit it off so well. It was an amazing meeting of the minds, because she was a very basic John Bonham type heavy drummer, and it really helped with my guitar playing, because I was just a basic straight up rhythm guitar player and didn't want to do more. I didn't want to play lead. I liked holding down that rhythm, and it's something inside that's I can't even really explain it.
Yeah. Now Sandy passed away in the past decade.
Yes.
You know, so is that part of what you were, you know, does that come out in any of the songs that you've written? And
absolutely. I mean, I've lost a lot of friends. I lost my parents in this last decade, and my parents were probably my biggest boosters. I mean, they're the ones that told me as a young child I could be anything I wanted to be. They're the ones that got me a guitar when I was 13, which I'm sure they were going, what is she thinking? You know,
girls can't play guitar.
Yeah, and my mom took me to, you know, Runaways rehearsals and got all the girls there. And, you know, I know my father was very, very proud of what we did. So I look at them as being the people that instilled my work ethic and just sort of my drive. And so, yeah, I think a lot of the songs, Fragile, about life just being, it's going to be so strong, and yet it is so fragile. It's a paradox. It's both things at once. Also, Hard to Grow Up. I mean, all of us kind of feel like a certain age in our minds as we grow older. We're always 20 or 23 or whatever. And things happen in life, and suddenly you realize, oh, my God, I've got to be responsible. I've got to deal with these things. I've got to grow up on some level.
Mm-hmm.
And that's never, I think, an easy realization for anyone.
And it doesn't sound very rock and roll. have to grow up.
No,
until you realize it could be the most rock and roll thing you ever do, in a sense.
Maybe, yeah. But it's just, it's hard for anybody, I think. So I'm saying it's hard for me to realize I got to be, whatever the responsibilities are, that you've got to deal with them. You can abdicate, of course, but then you're not taking, you know, taking responsibility seriously. You got your mother in a world, cause she's not sure if you're a boy or a girl. Babe, your hands are right. Hey, babe, let's stay out tonight. You like me and I like it all. You love dancing and you look it fine. You love bands when they play it hard. You want more and you want it faster. Put you down, you say I'm wrong. You take your thing, you put them on. Rebel, rebel, it's on your dress.
More with Joan Jett in a moment, and later we're going to hear from the British punk band Eagles. That's E-A-G-U-L-L-S. They're in town to play the CMJ Festival, and they'll play for us on Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. I'm here with Joan Jett. She and her longtime band, The Blackhearts, have a new album out called Unvarnished. Joan Jett is, of course, also a founding member of the legendary 70s rock band, The Runaways. And Joan, recently on Soundcheck, the author Evelyn McDonald joined us with her book, Queens of Noise, which is subtitled The Real Story of The Runaways. She spoke to all of you.
Yes.
For that. After all these years, did you think you had finally gotten to the point where you didn't have to answer a bunch of Runaways questions anymore? And, you know, is that now all back in the ether?
I think it is. I think there'll always probably be questions about the Runaways. And, you know, because there's not a lot of press, not a lot of moving pictures on the Runaways. And I think people are just really curious about this band. And it was, to me, it was one of the most magical times in my life. 3.5 years of beauty and grief and struggle and all the things that make being in a rock and roll band special.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, any band goes through trials and tribulations, personality issues. That's normal. But for some reason with the Runaways, I don't know if it's because we're girls or whatever, people try to make more of it than what it is.
Well, you had the spotlight on you for the simple reason that you were an all-girl band that didn't sound like a quote-unquote girl group.
Right.
You know? The book is called Queens of Noise. Soundcheck listeners, you can hear a segment with the author, Evelyn McDonald, on our website at soundcheck.org. And the title of the book comes from this song.
With a pinch of rock and a dose of roll, walking more.
Of Noise from the Runaways, 1977 recording. Joan Jett is with me on Soundcheck today. Queens of Noise, The Real Story of the Runaways is the recent book by Evelyn McDonald. You can find out about that, hear that segment on our show at soundcheck.org. Joan, I'm always interested when we play back here in the studio a really old song by an artist, because reactions go across the board. Some people like rip off the headphones, they can't stand listening to it. You're here kind of singing along with that old song. When's the last time you heard that song, first of all?
Oh, probably not too long ago. I'm very, very proud of what we did, the Runaways. And I think it's, you know, it's the only context in which I can brag about being great, because I tend to not be able to sort of, you know, brag about myself or say what you do well. You know, I save that for other people. But within the context of the Runaways, I could say that we are a great band, and I really believe it. And it was the most amazing thing. You got to travel the world and meet a lot of different bands and play with some great bands, and mm-hmm. it was a special time.
You also, I mean, the four of you, you were essentially growing up in public.
Absolutely, yeah.
You know, in the public glare. And we have seen recently, you know, that young women who are put in that position, often it seems like maybe they're struggling to find their way. Miley Cyrus is the big example right now in front of everybody. I mean, what kind of advice do you have for, you know, young women in music today and for someone who's going down the Miley Cyrus course right now?
You know, it's so hard to say, because people, when you're growing up, you're going to go through all kinds of things and you're going to experiment, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know that you can really advise people one way or the other, because human nature takes over, and it's just, you hope you just live through it. You know what I mean? In one way. But I would say for anyone, whether you're a girl or a guy, to really that the focus should be the music. I remember when I was maybe 16, right when the Runaways started, and we were doing interviews, and the interviewers would start to talk about more salacious issues, about our personal, what we might personally be into, or mm-hmm. other things that didn't have to do with the music. And I realized at that moment, if I start to talk about anything but the music, if I answer that question, that's going to be all they're going to ever want to talk about. They'll never talk about the music. So I put these boundaries. I don't talk about anything else. Mm. You want to talk to me about the music, I'll talk to you about it. Maybe we'll talk about some other things if I think it's you're not reaching where you shouldn't be reaching. But
And you were able to do that at 16.
Well, yeah, because I was also very shy, so I wasn't somebody who wanted to show off my body. I didn't feel, you know, beautiful or any of those things. I didn't feel, you know, I still remember a photo shoot we did with wetsuits on the beach, and I was the only one that was fully in a wetsuit, and I was hiding behind the surfboard, and all the other girls are there in their bikinis and showing off, and I'm hiding behind the board. But, you know, now I'm up on stage and, you know, out there, and I think maybe it's just a process of being comfortable with being in the public eye, and some people respond one way, and some people respond the other. So I don't know. Sometimes people need to medicate to get out there and do it. Some people don't. So everyone's going to take a different route.
Right.
And you can't. It's hard to advise them unless you're with them and you're there day to day and you're there to say, listen, you want all that. You gotta have some boundaries.
Yeah. It's a very different time now, of course, from when you were 16, 18, 20. I mean, social media, to kind of maintain that privacy and those boundaries, even if you try to do it, there are so many other people trying to get through those boundaries.
Yes.
So how do you, I mean, you've joined Twitter. You did a Reddit AMA, Ask Me Anything. You know, is this you kind of opening up a bit, becoming a little less private?
No, I don't think so at all. I think it's just me utilizing the avenues that are now people use to promote things, because it's shifted from, you know, before where you did radio things or I know this is radio, but you know what I'm saying?
It's just a different now it's
world.
Just radio. It used to be it was radio. Now it's just radio.
But you know what I'm saying? Whereas, say, years ago in different media markets, the jocks had the leeway to play whatever they wanted to.
Right.
And you would have regional hits, things like that. That's gone now. So that's what I mean, where you don't have that opportunity. But I don't think it really says that I'm going to throw my boundaries away or anything.
You're not going to be oversharing anytime soon.
No.
There is the song TMI,
yes.
Too Much Information, on the new album. Is that essentially what we're talking about here?
Well, I personally just... I don't begrudge anybody doing that, but I just, you know, now, especially when you hear more and more things, now we hear the NSA is collecting all your data, everything, cell phone, email, maybe they're just holding on to it, but whoever knows. So, you know, the more you put out there, your address, your mother's maiden name, phone numbers, it's just, to me, it's scary.
Mm.
So I just tend to have the boundaries that I've always had. I don't have any tendency to tell people. I have no desire to tell people what I'm eating right now or where I'm going.
Thank you
right
for
now.
That.
It's just, you know what I'm saying? But it's just, it's too much information. Yeah. I mean, there's so much going on in the world, and we're being bombarded, you know,
with photographs of people's sandwiches.
So I just don't know that you have the time in the day to sit down and go, oh, my God, now I want to talk about this. It's just not for me.
Right.
You know, it is for some people, but for me, I don't care.
The song is called TMI. It's from the new album from Joan Jett, my guest on Soundcheck. TMI, too much information from Joan Jett, the singer, songwriter, guitarist, founding member of the Runaways, and her longtime current band, the Blackhearts. The new album, Unvarnished, is out now. I actually like that title, Unvarnished. I mean, that is really rock and roll. It's not supposed to be all, like, buffed to a high sheen or anything like that. Is that the kind of music that you've always been drawn to?
Yeah, I think just sort of, yeah, just real and lo-fi and genuine and live, which is what we do.
So do you record live? Do you have the whole band there with you?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, we've always put the new songs into the set, so we kind of really know them. They're road tested,
yeah.
And plus it helps us to learn them better when you're playing them trial by fire, you know. And so then we go into the studio and we'll just set up live and play the song like we would do it if we were in a club.
Right.
And then if my vocal is good or there's parts I want to keep, I do. And if I don't, I'll go in and just focus on that.
All right. We're speaking with Joan Jett on Soundcheck. I'm a big sports fan. I watch Sunday Night Football. Is there a reason why that theme song should sound familiar, that waiting all day for Sunday night?
Yeah, that's Hate Myself for Loving You.
How did that happen, that your song got turned into, with different lyrics, into a football theme?
You know, I can't tell you exactly because I don't remember exactly what happened. But initially, they wanted to use that song and they would write different words.
Uh-huh.
And they did, but I didn't want to sing my song with different lyrics.
Oh,
and
okay.
Different,
okay.
You know, I thought somebody else should do it.
Right.
You know, I didn't want to change the lyrics and be the one singing them.
Right. So are you a football fan?
I am a football fan.
Who's your team?
Green Bay Packers.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, since I was a little kid.
Now, but you grew up in Philly, right?
I was born in Philly. I lived in Pittsburgh and Erie and Rockville, Maryland. And then I moved to California.
So Green Bay, equidistant from all those spots?
Yeah, It was like a sports magazine that I saw a picture of players covered in mud, and I think in 1966, and there was just one little swipe over one of the G's, and I became infatuated with that team for some reason.
Well, they are a great old franchise,
yeah.
And they do things the right way. Joan Jett, the new album is called Unvarnished. It is out now. It's been a lot of fun having you with us on Soundcheck today.
Thank you so much. It's been great being here.
Yeah.
The band Eagles has traveled all the way from Leeds, England to play this year's CMJ Music Marathon here in New York. And by the way, check out soundcheck.org for our coverage of CMJ. Hear our session with the Austin, Texas band White Denim right now. And tune in at 2 p.m. tomorrow for Speedy Ortiz, the indie rock band from Western Massachusetts that was featured earlier this year in a Soundcheck Pick 3. That's Speedy Ortiz, part of this year's CMJ Music Marathon, and our guest live in the studio tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern, on soundcheck.org. But up next, Eagles. This is Soundcheck. This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Once again, it's CMJ week in New York, and that means 1,400 musical acts, nonstop performances across the city, and lots of people with guitar cases out in the streets. One of those bands is Eagles. That's spelled like seagulls, but without the S. The band from Leeds arrives here in New York amid a lot of buzz, the good kind, for some hook-laden singles that they've released online, and the not-so-good kind, following a pull-no-punches open letter that the band posted on its website earlier this year that struck a sour note with some in the indie music world. We'll talk with the band in a moment, but first, they're here to play the song Nerve Endings. It's Eagles, live on Soundcheck.
That is Eagles from Leeds, England, here in our New York studio, and a song called Nerve Endings, which is their current single. Let me introduce you to the band. George Mitchell singing, Mark Goldsworthy and Liam Matthews playing guitar, as Tom Kelly on bass, Henry Riddell behind our drum kit here in the Soundcheck studio. Guys, thanks very much for being here.
Thanks.
First time in New York, right, Mark?
Yeah.
You guys
are
here for the CMJ Festival. You see the name on paper, E-A-G-U-L-L-S, and it isn't until you say it out loud that you realize, oh, you guys could get in trouble here in the States. The Eagles presumably have some pretty high-powered lawyers. Have you heard from anybody yet?
No, we haven't. But
not as of yet.
No.
So where did the name come from?
It came out as like sort of like a bit of a joke, but then as it went on, it's now not a joke.
Yeah, because I was stuck with it.
What was the joke? Someone explain the joke. Mark?
Did you ever hear that song by Shaggy called Angel?
Oh, like back in the 90s?
Yeah. Me and my sister, when we were younger on holiday, there was like a club singer singing that, but it sounded like he was singing like Girl, You're My Eagle. And like we imagined,
so it was a misheard
him,
lyric.
Yeah, and we imagined him like serenading this eagle on his arm. Mm-hmm. And we thought it was hilarious. And anyway, me, George and Henry were at a festival a few years ago. We were waiting for Neil Young to come on, and that song came on over the loudspeakers before he was coming on stage. And we started singing that, and it sort of became like a running sort of joke throughout that holiday, and we were just like, yeah, we're going to start a band called Eagles.
Okay.
And we just did it as a bit of a joke, and it's got a bit carried away now.
And George, Leeds, where you guys are from, you know, most Americans who know Leeds from a musical standpoint will know it from that Who record, Leeds. What's the scene like there?
There's a lot of bands in Leeds at the minute that are, really good. Like, I mean, you've probably heard of Hookworms. They're a good band, and then the hardcore punk sort of scene, that's like thriving at the minute.
It's like mm-hmm. the best in the country. It's the best place for bands in the country in England, I think, at the minute.
We're speaking with the members of Eagles, who are performing here in New York at the CMJ Festival. On Friday, the band will be at the Mercury Lounge on the Lower East Side at 11 p.m., and on Saturday, a 4 p.m. show at Pianos on the Lower East Side. Are you guys used to playing 4 o'clock shows?
No, not really. We've had to sometimes, and I don't know. We like to have a couple of drinks before we play, so it gets a bit hectic when it's early on in the day. But
you got to start early, huh?
Yeah. Well, yeah, but I don't know. Sometimes we do anyway, so why not?
All right. Now, let me ask you about this open letter that is now closed, but for a while seemed to be attacking quote-unquote beach bands. What is a beach band?
No comment.
And how many beers was that?
That was sober, and it took about 5 minutes to write, and I can't believe how much it's spread.
Well, but, you know, you're sort of taking bands to task, apparently, for being either successful or having women in them.
Yeah, that's I really get upset when people sort of like pinpoint that. I'm not a sexist, and none of us are, and it's just disgraceful that people can pinpoint something like that just off of a little letter, and I don't like to talk about it.
So is that why it's now it's no longer an open letter? It's now closed on the Eagles.
Yeah, it got
blog.
Shut because of that. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. So you've got your first full-length album coming up early next year. How much of the music that we're hearing today is likely to be on this first full-length?
Well, every song, all three songs. Like, obviously, Nerve Endings is the single, and then Yellow Eyes, and then Possessed, which we did record before, but we've actually popped that back onto the album. So
different version? Or
It's the same, but it's a lot bigger and a lot better. Like when we recorded it last time, it was more like a demo, I'd say.
Right. So. All right. But you're going to do Yellow Eyes for us next, right?
Yep.
All right. Let's hear it. The band is Eagles from Leeds, England. They're here in New York for the CMJ Festival. The first full length comes out in early next year, early 2014, but the single Nerve Endings is available now as a download here in the States. This song is called Yellow Eyes. It's Eagles live on Soundcheck.
Thank you.
The band Eagles, live on Soundcheck with a song called Yellow Eyes. Eagles in New York from Leeds, England for this week's CMJ Festival. They're playing Friday at 11 p.m. at the Mercury Lounge on the Lower East Side. And on Saturday, towards the end of CMJ Festival, they'll be playing an afternoon show, 4 p.m. at Pianos. The band is here live on Soundcheck. Here's another song. This one's called Possessed. Possessed, the name of the song, from the band Eagles, live on Soundcheck here in our New York studio. Once again, George Mitchell on vocals, Mark Goldsworthy and Liam Matthews on guitars, Tom Kelly on bass, Henry Riddell playing the drums. And let me ask you guys, Mark, the police raided a video shoot of yours, right? Is that the story?
Oh, yeah, apparently so, yeah. We were the video for Nerves Ending. We had a pig's brain in our basement, like decomposing, filming it, slow motion over a couple of weeks. And it just so happened at that time we were having some issues with our gas company in our house, and they came round to cut us off when we were at work one day.
So the gas people come,
yeah,
and they find a rotting brain in the basement.
Yeah, none of us were in. They had a warrant, so they kicked the doors in, went in the basement where the gas mate was and found this brain on the floor being filmed. And it's quite small, a pig's brain, maybe as you thought it was like a child's brain or something like that.
Oh my goodness.
And apparently they phoned the police, like, there's a tyre garage next door to our house, and we got back from work and they were like, the police have been to do, what's these brains in your basement and all that, and we're like, oh bloody hell. But they haven't chased it up, they never left a letter or anything like that, but our locks had been changed and stuff, so someone had been...
They changed your locks?
Yeah, we had new locks on when we got back from work, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What you do for your art, huh? Mm. Where do you go to get pig's brains? You just go to the butcher?
No, well, it was a nightmare. I was going to butchers, and I probably just kind of used the language they were saying. Like, they thought I was a right weirdo, or they must have thought I was, like, Satanist or something. And a lot of them were turning us away, like, and I ended up having to buy... I bought some pig's heads. They wouldn't take the brain out for us, though, so I had to get, like, a hammer and a knife and sort of chiseling the skull in half. But like once you get it in half, like you know when you crack an avocado and you spin it and the seed's still in one side, it's like that and just have to pop it out.
Yeah, it's not easy.
Yeah.
I don't know what to make of that. I've just learned way more than I ever wanted to know about the correct way to extract a pig's brain from its head.
Well, now you know.
Now I know. The full-length album, the first from the band Eagles, is coming out early next year. They're here for the CMJ Festival this week. Guys, have fun. Thanks very much for being here and playing for us today.
Yeah, thanks for
thanks for having us.
This is Soundcheck. Tomorrow on the show, a new collection of essays tackles a question that many New Yorkers grapple with. Is it time for me to leave New York? We'll talk with Sari Botten about her anthology, Goodbye to All That. Plus, Daryl McDaniels of Run DMC on his new comic book company. And live music from the Austin, Texas psychedelic rock band, White Denim. All of that is tomorrow. Thanks for being with us today. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.